Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. On today's episode, a garage sale toy seems to have a mind of its own. A child's nightmares leave a parent full of fear after he asks a peculiar question in his sleep. A listener can tell the difference between her resident spirit and ones that are passing through. Children can see the shadow of a ghost underneath their bedroom door. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Did we get a haunted item at a garage sale?
Not that I'm aware of.
As we call them rummage sales up north?
No. I never found anything at a garage sale that I was like, ooh, this is really old and cool.
Ever?
Most of the time, it's stuff that's more recent. Not that that can't be haunted.
Yeah.
But I think your chances are less.
I still enjoy going to garage sales, but I found them much more exciting as a child. And is it just because you're a kid, the same reason like the dollar store is exciting as a kid? And I don't know. I mean, I know there's a lot of junk at garage sales, but every once in a while you find some interesting stuff. But I felt like I was finding a lot more stuff when I was like 8.
Well, sure, because you can afford it then.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you can afford it as an adult, but when you're a little kid,
and you're
$5 goes a long way at a garage sale.
It's like 2 weeks, when you're a kid. I mean, gosh, that'd be like a month of work.
Yeah.
I got like $1 a week for the longest time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what's the coolest thing you've ever gotten at a garage sale? Not ghost related, just, and it could have been when you were a kid too. Not that you're an adult going, oh, that was awesome, but the version of Jenny at the time that got it.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I've done a lot of garage sailing.
Mine was this game, and it was called Tuba Ruba. Remember Tuba Ruba? It was a game where it's essentially plastic, flexible piping that you wrap all around your body, and you end up looking like a 1990s colorful space alien. with like intestines all around you, if you will. And what you do is you put a marble into the end of the Tuba Ruba, and then you have to roll around or move around to get the marble to come out the other end of said plastic intestine that you've wrapped around your body. And like, I don't think you even wrap it around. I think like the other players wrap it around you into the most difficult way that they can get it. And then whoever gets it out in the fastest amount of time wins, and everybody has to do it. It's insanely difficult.
It sounds difficult, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a kid and you're like flexible and able to like kind of easily tumble around, because you ultimately have to do like somersaults or stand on your head or something.
It's like back in the day when Twister was fun.
Yeah, it's like Twister on steroids.
Yeah.
It is such an extreme thing. It puts Twister to shame.
Now I just groan when the kids bring Twister.
Oh, I know.
I'm
can't.
Like, no.
Like, you guys have fun. I'll spin.
Yeah.
You know. But Tuba Ruba, I think, was one of my favorites. I played it like twice. I was like, this is too difficult for me. And I was like 8. You know? But that's one of my favorite ones, I think.
I have furnished apartments with just garage sale stuff.
Yeah.
And it's come out really cute before.
There's ways of doing that.
But I won't say it was any one particular thing that was the greatest. You know, I just have had luck.
It's great if you're trying to furnish it, especially like in a different era. Because that's, you know, like oh, I'm going for a 1970s look, although or 60s. Although that's much more difficult to find these days at a garage sale.
Well, you remember all my furniture at the apartment. That was, every piece was garage sale.
Yeah, it was, and it was nice. Yeah. You made it look cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes you go to like the estate sale and somebody's selling grandma's furniture, and it's whatever era grandma liked. That's what you're getting. You can like get all everything, the full set. You know, right down to the kitchen appliances.
It looks like the furniture from Archie Bunker's house.
It's kind of neat sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Just kind of depends. Like, oh, look, I think a cat died inside of this couch here. It smells like cat.
Ew.
Feels like cat.
That's like cat.
That's a cat in the cushion. That's the extra padding that they're
in. I don't want to know what qualifies as smells like cat.
Well, dead cat or a live cat.
Ew.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share or to share your ghost story with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. Abby writes in. So as of right now, I'm a 19-year-old in college, but I have had a lot of messed up paranormal things happen to me throughout my life. I have many paranormal stories, but the one I want to talk about is one that to this day still makes me scared to think of or talk about. So I'm from Idaho and was around 8 years old at the time. I go to dozens of yard sales every summer with my mom. Well, we came across a yard sale selling kids' toys, and of course I got excited, but the only thing I really wanted was the stuffed dog. Like, not a tiny shelf animal, but an actual huge stuffed animal. Now, the lady selling this was in her 50s, and she had told me she bought the dog from someone before when she was around my age. Now the lady's story was nothing creepy. She just talked about her memories of how much she loved the dog. It was hard for her to sell. I wanted the dog to be my favorite toy, too. Well, which didn't happen because of what I'm about to tell you. I had the dog at this point for a month or so. Nothing unusual had been happening until I would wake up in the morning with my only window wide open and many of my things knocked over. I even noticed some of my things started going missing that I loved, especially my favorite dolls. I told my mom about this, and she just said I was misplacing things. I even inquired my brother, and he said that some of the things went missing as well. Things escalated one night when I woke up to the sound of my window opening, which frightened me to no end. But then it scared me even more when I felt heavy pressure on me and I couldn't move my body. But I could move my eyes. I was laying on my back and I looked to my right, which was my wall, and there was this hand rapidly waving at me. It wasn't a real hand, but a shadow. I also noticed the dog at the end of my bed was not on the bed. I was beyond frightened. I couldn't scream, and I remember tears falling out of my eyes. This experience didn't last long, maybe like 30 seconds. As soon as the pressure was gone, I hid myself under the covers. I didn't sleep the rest of that night, and as soon as I heard my parents getting ready, I bolted into their room and burst into tears. They deemed it as a bad dream. And a few months later, before school was supposed to start up, we had to move. My mom and brother were helping me pack my things up, and the last thing we moved in was my bed. Now, this bed wasn't a bed that you could easily access the underneath of. It was solid wood with drawers on the side. When they moved the bed, we were all shocked to see all my and my brother's missing things under my bed. It was a disgusting sight as there were dead bugs mixed in with the lost toys. To this day, I have no idea how the hell all of those things got under that bed. I mean, you couldn't even take the drawers out unless you unscrewed the stoppers. My mom finally believed me after that, and she burned that dog, too. Thanks for reading. I appreciate it. You guys have the best podcast ever. I hope to hear my story on the air soon.
So something was attached to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Made the dog run around the room.
It's creepy.
That is very creepy. That and hiding stuff. I hate that.
In places where you otherwise couldn't get to it. Although, I mean, it did lead to the parents finally believing.
Mm-hmm.
Had it just been like on the other side of the room, it probably could have been brushed off more. So it's like, oh, someone moved it. But
I just remember how frustrating that was as a kid when you lose stuff. But now it's even more frustrating as a parent when your kid loses something. Because
mm-hmm.
it's usually something they need or really, really want. And you have to find a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pain in the butt.
Or it's like, of all the items you could possibly lose, why did you lose the one with value?
Yeah.
Or significance,
right.
You know, it's right. like you have a gazillion of these little trinkets here, but you lost the one that was like an heirloom or, you know.
Yeah. Lose a Lego. Don't lose that.
Yeah. It's and that seems to be what happens with kids.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Lauren writes in, my son has always been able to tell you about family members he's never met. He often talks in his sleep as well. One night I was awake on my computer in bed, and my husband, who was next to me, was fast asleep along with our son. He was in his own bed. At one point, Gabe cries out, Dad, Mom, and then a bunch of mumbling that I could not understand. He sounded upset, so I woke him up just to make sure he wasn't having a bad dream. In the process of calling out his name and asking if he was okay, my husband woke up. He got up, made sure Gabe was still breathing, went to the bathroom, and went back to sleep. When he got Gabe up in the morning, he asked him what he was dreaming about. He proceeded to tell my husband that he was dreaming we were on a boat like Noah's. He told his dad we were all inside the boat along with my dad, his new wife, my sister, and their family. On the deck of the boat was my mom, my gram, her husband, and her husband's father. all these people who've passed away, along with a few of our dead pets. Gabe was able to describe what would have been my grandfather, who he never met, as well as a great-grandfather, who I've never met, nor do I have any photos of him. My dad was able to confirm that that is exactly what he looks like. My husband then left to go downstairs with a concerned look on his face. I followed him downstairs and asked him why he even bothered to ask him what he was dreaming about. He said, "Don't you remember what he asked you?" And I said, "No, it was just mumbling. He just sounded upset." So I woke him in case he was having a bad dream. He said, "I heard him plan his day." He asked you, "Mom, what does it mean?" "Well, they tell you to go in peace and your soul leaves your body." Scary as that was, a few days earlier, my father-in-law, who was in the room next to ours, heard Gabe talking and a woman answering him. He asked me the following day why we were up so late. It was about 2 a.m. when he heard this. I said we weren't up that late. He'd gone to bed around 8:30 because Gabe in school and I was sick. I don't talk in my sleep.
That's creepy to know your kid's talking to somebody and learning phrases they otherwise would not know.
And getting answered back audibly.
Yeah, and being able to hear that. So something was going on. I wonder if he outgrew that and it stopped, mm-hmm. or if they've changed where they live and it stopped, or if it's still going on.
I don't know. I think the only solace you can have in that situation is the audible answering back. Mm-hmm. For a little bit of confirmation that there's not something wrong with the son, you know, psychologically.
Sure.
Or it's like, is there something, you know, really going on here that we need to get some help for when you're actually having the voices come back out?
I bet they kind of put that aside, that thought, when they sure. realized he's describing in great detail people he's never met, mm-hmm. nor has he seen a picture of, but these people really existed.
I agree. I just think it gives you that one extra little piece.
I just don't think it's going to give me any peace to hear my kid talking to somebody that's not there in the next room.
It gives you peace on one level, but not on the other.
Yeah.
It like just opens up a whole like, okay, well, it's settled over here. It's not some sort of mental state that he needs help for. It's literally something completely paranormal. Mm-hmm. And there's unfortunately no clear direction there.
No.
On how you solve that. So you close one door, you open another.
Right.
Essentially. Emily writes in, "Hey guys, just found your podcast recently. And by recently, I mean like last week. And I'm hooked already. I want to share my story. It's not the creepiest in the world, but it sure sticks with me. When I was about 16, I lived primarily with my mom. I had my room set up with my TV at the end of my bed and my lamp was right next to me on my table. Every night when I went to sleep, I put the remote on the pillow I didn't use against the wall. One night I woke up in the middle of the night and my TV was on. I double-checked to make sure I hadn't rolled over on my remote and didn't notice it being out of place at all. So I turned it off and went back to sleep. A while later, I woke up again and my lamp was now on. So I turned that off too and went back to sleep. When I woke up a third and final time, both my TV and my lamp were back on, still with nothing out of place. I should mention that I'd always heard noises coming from the attic or the upstairs when I was downstairs. My mom always told me it was just one of the three cats, but usually they were right there with me. The morning after this all happened, my mom told me I had to stop leaving my TV on at night. When I tried telling her what happened, she ignored it and told me I was probably just dreaming things. Fast forward about 7 years, I'm married with two kids and my mom still lives in the same house. She recently had to have it cleansed due to strange things happening around the house. She claimed that she would shower, and while washing her hair, the lights would go out, and she could see it got darker while her eyes were closed, as if something was standing in front of the shower, blocking out the light. She also said she always felt as if someone or something was watching her sleep. Final straw came for her one night when she was asleep, and she heard a little girl giggling outside of her window. She swore it was my husband and daughter playing, but when she woke up, she quickly realized that wasn't possible. While her pastor was at her house cleansing her room, he told her that he looked up during it and saw an angry, distorted face in the mirror. And immediately after, the curtains blew open and the sun came outside. Her house still gives me a bad vibe due to all this, but she swears nothing else has happened since that day. Hopefully you guys can get some use out of my story. Keep doing the show. It's awesome from what I've seen so far.
I kind of get the feeling that when the pastor saw the angry face and the curtains blew and then the sun kind of came out, that signified that was the spirit was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So makes you wonder if it was the same spirit that had always been there, or is it just one, you know? I mean, because mm-hmm. it seemed like things kind of changed over time.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. It did. And it's hard to know if everything is truly gone or if just that one in particular that was being paid attention to at the moment
mm-hmm.
Exited.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the program, sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. You can do it on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Amanda writes in, a few weeks ago, as of mid-April 2017, Jenny mentioned something about the difficulty of being able to tell the difference between a ghost somebody is familiar with in their house and one that is just passing through. If I remember correctly, I think she said that it may be difficult to tell the difference. What I want to do is pass on a bit of personal information about just that kind of experience. At the time, my husband and I lived in a duplex where the other side was empty. This duplex was within walking distance of both a cemetery and a river. My husband worked third shift and I worked first, so most of the time I was alone in the house. For the first few months, nothing much happened, but that changed sometime around April or May of 2009. It was then that I started seeing a shadow figure outside the shower curtain while I took a shower. It didn't do anything, just freaked out the cats. The first few times I actually grabbed a weapon and looked around the house, for whoever it may have been. I got used to it after the fourth or fifth time, though, and that's pretty much how it stayed. For months, just a low-level feeling of not being alone in an empty house and a shadow out of the corner of my eye. That autumn, though, was when I started to notice some changes. The shadow was still there, but there was now occasionally a feeling of intense anger. Lights in the kitchen stopped working. Then they work. When I turned them on at one point, I'd leave the room, come back an hour later, and they wouldn't turn back on. An electrician was called, but he never found anything. The lights always worked perfectly in there. However, there were other people in the house. It lasted for 2 weeks. And I knew that this was different than what had been there since I moved in. That spring, we had another visitor. This one liked to cause sleep paralysis for both my husband and myself. He also attacked my husband. He didn't feel angry, though. There was little emotion that I could pick up from him. After the attack on my husband, I did a full cleansing of the house, which got rid of him. I call him a him because the last one felt very male. The cleansing was very specific in what it blocked, all those who meant harm. The initial shadow who stood outside the shower still stayed around. It never caused problems for us. Whole time we were in that house, though, we were still getting short-term visits. None of the rest came with the attacks. Now, you probably hear this a lot, but thanks for having such a great program. Even my skeptical husband likes to listen with me.
You know, I hate it when they do electrical stuff because you think, oh, I know what this is. This is just something shorting out. But when it only happens when certain people are there and not others, it's either that person
mm-hmm.
is a slider mm-hmm. or there's something just messing with the power.
Or that person is eating sliders, which can also sometimes affect it.
Yeah.
And okay. it can be chicken or beef.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the slider that the effect that people can have on electricity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And that can happen sometimes.
And I wonder if people don't think about that as a possibility.
It's only when this person is here that this is happening mm-hmm. or things of that nature. Yeah. It's something to consider. Thanks for writing in. Chelsea says, hey, Tony and Jenny, love your podcast. I'm an EPP. I have a pretty cool story to share with you. Happened about 15 years ago. Let's give you a little background first. My mom has four brothers and two sisters. Her eldest sister, Sheila, was an artist and did beautiful portraits and drawings. When their middle sister, Nora's children were in elementary school, Sheila had started to draw portraits of them, but only got two of the three kids finished. Shortly after this, she got ill and later passed away from lung cancer before finishing the third portrait. The two complete portraits hung in Auntie Nora's house, and since we lived close to this aunt and grew up with her kids, I saw those portraits almost every day. I am also an artist, and over the years, I had told my aunt many times that I would finish that last portrait for her someday. When Auntie Nora became ill, too, I decided I had enough practice and was ready to attempt to live up to Auntie Sheila's artistic skills. The year before, I decided it was time my aunt had taken the portraits off the wall to paint, which was awesome because I'd be able to sneak them out of the house now. I moved them once or twice to different closets in her house to make sure that nobody would miss them before I snuck them back to my house. This was going to be my Christmas present for Auntie Nora, and I was excited and terrified to attempt this project. It was the last week before Christmas. All my other Christmas stuff was done, and I hadn't even started this drawing yet. This is when weird things started to happen around my house. We lived in a trailer, so it's a very open concept. My mom and I were sitting at the table one day, and our big old TV turned onto static. The static wasn't really weird, but it was a big old TV, and you'd have to physically turn the dial or use the remote. None of us had touched anything. Then, either the same day or the next, we had a glass Christmas bulb fall off the tree. My cat was notorious for this, but we were in the room when it fell, and the cat was nowhere to be seen. We thought these occurrences were weird, but didn't think too much about it. It was now the day before Christmas Eve, and it was my last night to get this drawing done. I took out my paper and I got all set up lying on the living room floor beside the Christmas tree in our little living room. My sister was sitting in the chair reading and my mom was sitting on the couch. And started drawing yet, and the tree branch right beside my head moved. I was kind of freaking out as there was definitely no way this should have happened. Right after that is when my night got weird. I started drawing and I don't really remember the rest of the night. It's kind of a blur. I finished that drawing in one sitting and it looked great. Looks so much like my aunt's style of drawing, but there was definitely my hand to it as well. I'm convinced that she helped me finish that drawing that night, or I helped her finish that drawing. This is one of the coolest things that ever happened to me. The best part of the story was I had not told my cousin, the third sibling, that I was finishing her portrait. I was so focused on my aunt, it hadn't occurred to me to tell her. When it was time to give my gift to my aunt, I had three cousins come outside and each hold their newly framed portraits so we could present them to the family. As soon as my cousin saw the portrait, she started crying. She was so happy because she always wished that she had a drawn portrait on the wall, too. I made the whole family close their eyes, and once my cousins were all lined up and everyone opened their eyes, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was really amazing. I doubt this drawing would be the only reason my Aunt Sheila came back as a ghost, but it was part of her unfinished business. I'm sure she was very happy with the result. I've had no other experiences with deceased family members yet, but if I do, I'll let you know. I had an interesting experience at the Titanic exhibit in Las Vegas that I'll write on about soon. Thank you for this great podcast. Much love, Chelsea from BC, Canada.
The way she kind of alluded to that, the aunt helping her, I think that might be what happened.
I would agree.
I don't think it's like a possession where she's actually drawing, but just, you know, kind of helping to guide and passing on knowledge of how to make things look a certain way.
I had that experience once.
Huh?
I was making a clay pot. Unchained Melody was playing in the background.
Oh, God. So, I have no words. No, don't do this.
My hands were don't just do guided.
This is just wrong.
It was weird because the ghost seemed to look a lot like Patrick Swayze.
Do you want that experience with Patrick Swayze?
No.
Okay, then shut up.
It was really disturbing. I was like, what the hell? Why is I don't even it's not even on my Pandora stations.
That
I don't
is
know why I
a mental image all of our listeners do not need. Myself included.
It was.
Good God.
Although who? I don't think I've ever seen Ghost. Who was Patrick Swayze the ghost or was the other one the ghost?
No, Patrick Swayze was the ghost.
Okay. Who else was in that movie?
I don't know.
Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg. But Demi Moore was like the love interest of Patrick Swayze, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're not Demi Moore. I hate to break it to you.
I was wearing a Demi Moore mask.
Oh, God. I'm just so disturbed.
It just went one step weirder. Doing pottery. In our secret pottery room that only I know about in the crawl space of our home. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. You think that goes into like the top 10 of the most disturbing, weird things I've ever said on this show.
It just might. It just might. Because, you know, we've done this so long that I can't keep track.
Yeah.
But this one, I don't think I'll be able to forget.
That was a fun one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Samantha writes in, first off, huge fan. Only found you guys a couple of weeks ago, but I've been listening to previous episodes. I'm not an EPP yet, but plan to once my finances have stabilized. I have many stories to share with you guys, and I'm a sensitive and have recently started working in energy and spiritual work. It will open my psychic mind further. I've always been able to feel the paranormal, and I decided to learn so I could be able to defend myself. I've always been in touch with the paranormal, no matter how much I tried to hide from it when I was younger. I've had many experiences and have researched the paranormal spanning the past 10 years and plan to write a book about them. I think I should be able to consider myself an authority at this point, but unless you've published a book, that claim falls on deaf ears. I've had involuntary experiences and have gone to places to seek them out as well. Honestly, I'll take up a whole episode telling you just some of them. For now, to start off with, I'll share with you my three experiences with sleep paralysis. Two in the same night. My first experience was in my parents' house, where I'd already been experiencing a lot of activity, but those are other stories to tell later, mostly involving shadow people and a red-eyed man. Originally, I'd blamed the red-eye man for the assaults that night, but later learned it was another specter entirely. I shared a small bedroom with my younger sister. She'd slept pleasantly throughout this, I might add. I'd gotten in the habit of sleeping on my side, but sometimes I'll end up on my stomach. This was also between the time my old dog had passed away and before my mother had gotten a new puppy. I woke up semi-conscious to difficult breathing and realized I felt a hand in the back of my head that was pressing my face down in my own pillow. I tried to struggle, but my body barely responded, and the hand on my head tightened as I swore I heard breathing in my ear. I continued to struggle, trying to breathe through my pillow, but the hand would not let up and gradually pressed harder. I was terrified to turn my head and see what was doing this. I know I had to at least get my face off the pillow before it pressed hard enough for me to suffocate. I chickened out of trying to see it and kept my eyes closed, but moved my mouth off the pillow by turning my head to the side as I managed to draw breath. I told it to stop, that my voice was weak, and it was a struggle to move my mouth to form words. For a moment, the pressure increased, but again, I forced out a stop. Then suddenly, the hand was gone. Sat up, looking around my room, shaking in terror. But there was nothing out of the ordinary in my room. I tried to convince myself it was a nightmare and went back to sleep after going to the kitchen for water. I felt like I was being watched, and it made my heart hammer, though I should have been used to the sensation of invisible eyes watching me by now. The second time was that night, and it happened again the same way, but I was quicker to tell it to stop, though I noticed it was even harder to move my face from the pillow. Like it knew I'd try to fight again. Again, I sat up, but there was nothing to indicate anyone was ever there. Again, I tried to convince myself it was a nightmare and tried to sleep once more, but I couldn't and stayed up trying to keep myself distracted by a funny movie on my laptop. I felt sick as the sun came up and felt like my head had been bashed through a brick wall. I wanted to call out of work because I felt awful and I'd be alone in the house. A thought which terrified me, so I decided to suck it up and go. I could barely function during my shift. I had done all-nighters or had little sleep before, and this was completely unlike it. My head pounded as I fought back the need to hurl. I kept touching my head, expecting to see blood in my fingertips when I pulled them away, but nothing. It took me a while before I felt comfortable falling asleep in my parents' house again. The most recent time was not nearly as frightful. I had moved out into a one-bedroom condo, adopted my own dog and a kitten, got a new job doing overnight shifts, so it was around noonish after I'd gotten home, locked the door behind me, and went to sleep. I keep the animals in the bedroom with me when I sleep so they don't get into trouble. They both tend to snuggle up on the bed with me. Anyways, I wake up on my stomach, staring at the bedroom door and unable to move. I don't see anything, don't hear anything, but I feel someone standing in my hallway, just like if I could look through the door. They'd be right there. A part of me thought it was my boyfriend, so I wanted to turn away so he'd think he was waking me up, possibly with food. But then I realized he was still at work. That was when I noticed I couldn't move. The person stood in the hallway and I just stared at the door for what seemed like hours before I gave into my exhaustion and went back to sleep. Yet again, I woke up telling myself, what a weird dream. After all, my dog didn't start barking, so it had to be a dream, right? I went about my day, but I felt off. It was when I was about to walk out the door was when it clicked. It wasn't a dream. Let me explain. I am paranoid, so I have a love-hate relationship living on my own. I always, always double-check that the door is locked when I don't have any guests and my boyfriend is at his own house. The door had unlocked itself after I had double-checked it was locked when I came home from work. After seeing this, I smudged the house to cast out whatever had been lingering outside my door. If it was a person that took advantage of an open door, I should have expected some things to be missing or move, but nothing. Now you see, after moving out of my parents, I found a spiritual teacher. I began learning Wicca from him. I first met him through my boyfriend when I had told him that there was a spirit in my condo that was messing with my things. Again, another story for another day. He, my teacher, taught me how to smudge and ward my house from spirits. There are also theories that cats and dogs can keep negative spirits at bay. So I wonder if between the animals and my smudging of my bedroom that kept it from entering. I urge anyone who is dealing with negativity in their house to use a white sage smudging stick and use its smoke to cleanse their house. Sometimes it may take more, but if you smudge and sternly tell them they are unwelcome, it works in most cases. You need to believe in yourself in order for it to work well, and you may need to resmudge every couple of months. Interesting fact, it's been recently proven that smudging is an antiseptic. So if there is illness in the house, smudging can do things to help keep it from spreading. To conclude this long story, I told my teacher about my experiences. He told me that it was not the red-eyed man that assaulted me while I was in my parents' house. But there are spirits called old hags that are commonly behind sleep paralysis. They come to people's houses and drain them of their energy, explaining my extreme fatigue the next day. He dealt with one himself and told me if I kept training on a spiritual level, I'd be able to see and hear spiritual presences instead of only feeling them like I have my whole life. I may open the door to more experiences, but I've now been trained to handle them and want to help people in the future with the paranormal as my teacher does now. As I said before, love your show. Listen during the overnight shifts, and I hope to hear this on the air and maybe help some people going through the same things.
I think we had another listener send us an article about how they had proven that saging can actually help with killing germs in a house where there's been recent illness, and I thought that was really interesting.
Jenny now sages twice a day.
I don't actually. No, I don't. I just try and use cleaners.
Sage with Febreze.
No.
Or smudge Febreze smudging. That's a new scent.
I think we talked about that once.
Where they make a Febreze version of it?
Well, I think we talked about you making a version of it.
Well, yeah, it's Demon Away.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, we've talked about Demon Away a lot. I wasn't sure if that was the same thing.
It's like the consumer version of Demon Away. There's like the real, you know, like the essential oils that you can use. And then there's like the one that's like kind of watered down that lasts a little bit longer.
Yeah.
In a real friendly looking bottle. 855-853-4802. Our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Heather says, hey there, guys. I'm writing to you today with a ghost story I experienced as a young girl. Grew up in a very haunted house in central Minnesota. This particular story occurred when I was about 8 to 9 years old. One Saturday morning, my younger brother and I were up before everyone else and we were watching cartoons in the living room. As we were enjoying our show, we both became aware of the fact that there is a knocking noise happening on the wall about 5 to 6 feet behind us. I look at my brother and told him it was just the pipes. This is the same thing my parents would tell me when they heard it, and I was trying to keep my 4-year-old brother from worrying or becoming too frightened. Meanwhile, inside, I'm shaking. I know it's not the pipes, and I'm worried the situation could escalate, because by the time, I was very aware our home was haunted and had numerous strange and scary things happen to me in the house. Apparently, the entity didn't like that I told my brother it was the pipes making the noise, so it decided to show us it wasn't the pipes. Next thing we hear is a knocking noise coming from the kitchen, which was off to our left. It knocked a few different times on 2 different surfaces, as you could hear the change in the sound when it knocked. By this time, my heart is pounding so hard I can hear it in my ears and I feel adrenaline rushing through my body. Still, I reassured my brother we were okay and instructed him to ignore it. and keep watching our show. Then we hear the next sequence of knocking in the dining room on the kitchen table, which is somewhere between 10 to 20 feet away from us. It's at this time I realize these knockings have been moving in a big circle around us, and the house is laid out in such a way that if this pattern of movement is to continue, it's going to be in the living room with us, in front of us. As my brain is racing, trying to figure out what to do, the knocking happens again, this time on the coffee table that's sitting right in front of me and my brother. That's where I lost it. I flipped over the back of the couch, ran to my dad's bedroom. My little brother came racing after me. I ran so quick, I don't even remember my feet touching the ground. So once we get into our dad's room, close the door, we grab a blanket off the bed and lay on the floor. Our sister was also laying on the floor, as we always slept on our dad's floor because we were too afraid to sleep in our own bedroom that's three kids shared. That's how scary living in this house had become. Anyway, so all three of us are lying on the floor and we wake up my sister and we're whispering to her what we just saw. My head's close to the bedroom door and something out of my peripheral vision catches my eye. I see a shadow under the crack of the door. I watch the shadow. Seems to be pacing the hallway outside of the bedroom door. I point this out to my siblings, who confirm they also see the shadow pacing in front of the door through the crack. I was terrified. Too terrified to open the door and confront whatever it was that was haunting us that morning. So my siblings and I huddle under our blankets and waited for this entity to go away and for our dad to wake up so we would feel safe again. And although it isn't part of the story, I do want to mention that me and my sister happened to have bunk beds while living in the house. That's my story for today. I hope you enjoy it. Just recently was introduced to your podcast by a coworker, and I quickly became an EPP member. Thank you for your great show. I am addicted.
I don't know what I'd do if I started hearing that knocking going on around me, and then all of a sudden it's on the coffee table right in front of me.
That would be a little troubling.
It'd be a lot troubling.
You were kind of troubled last night when the fan in our room started making like a ticking noise.
Well, I knew it wasn't like I was afraid of it kind of thing. It was more so, if I keep hearing this, it's going to keep me up.
And then all of a sudden you hear it in your nightstand.
No.
What's going on?
No, it was a weird noise, but you got it to stop and I got to sleep.
I know, I saged it.
No.
I saged the fan and it stopped.
You saved the day. You didn't sage it.
I stopped it from oscillating.
Yeah.
And ta-da.
Ta-da.
Saved the day. Thank you for that story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes of the show, like 180 or so of them up there for you to binge away on. $5 a month is all it is. You can sign up for a full year if you want. Or you can sign up through Patreon. That option is there for you as well. Same deal, $5 a month. There's some upgradable options over there as well. If you want to support us at $10 a month or $20 a month, there's some bonus perks on the Patreon version of EPP. So you get all the good stuff there. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.